Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In 2 Kings chapter 3, we find a discussion of a historical event involving Israel and Judah, Edom and Moab. Now, at the time of this event, the Israelite people were divided into two nations, Israel on the north and Judah of the south. And so long as Ahab, the king of the northern Israel, lived, the Moabites paid tribute to him with animals and other gifts. When Ahab died and his son Jehoram became king, the Moabites refused to continue their tribute. For Jehoram decided to make war against the Moabites, and he asked Jehoshaphat, who was the king of southern Judah, to be his ally. In addition, they sought the aid of the king of Edom. So these three kings set out to do battle against the Moabites. Now on their way, they ran out of water for themselves and for their men and for their animals. And the kings became fearful, almost in panic, lest they become the victims of the Moabites rather than the victors as they had planned. Jehoshaphat called for a prophet of God, and Elisha came. Elisha said he would have nothing to do whatsoever with the king of Israel and with the king of Edom if it were not for Jehoshaphat. Israel had been led deeply into idolatry by Jehoram and by Edom, which was a heathen nation. Nonetheless, for the sake of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, which held some semblance of respect for God, Elisha consented to inquire of God for them. Now through Elisha, God spoke, giving instructions to the kings. They were promised water without rain and victory over the Moabites. It was, however, a conditional promise. Their blessings were dependent upon them doing what God commanded of them. Now actually, the commands were tests of the kings. God tested them. And the command was rather simple in nature. Make this valley full of ditches. That was the Lord's instructions. And then the Lord would fill them with water. Now God has always tested man, and he does so now. The test may vary from time to time and from age to age, but the purposes of the test are usually just about the same. By this test, God tested four important attitudes of these kings who had come to him for help. His command was a test of their faith in God. They had asked for God's help. Now, would they follow what he directed? If they really had confidence in God, they would obey. If they lacked their confidence, then they would cast aside his command. It was a good test, because there was no way that they saw how God could do what he promised. He told them there would be water, but he also said there would be no rain. So how would God do it? There was no logical connection between what was commanded and what was the promised result. To have obeyed God because they understood it all and could see the reasons behind it would have been more accepting of God's wisdom with which they agreed than just simply to do what God said. To do as God commanded, when they could not see any reason for it, would mean wholesome obedience. Doing what God says because it makes sense to us is not really showing the right kind of faith. But doing what God says because God said do it, and to do it for the reasons that God has revealed unto us to do it, that is obedience. That is a demonstration of true faith. Now this command was a test of their willingness to obey. The line of their duty was clearly drawn. Very simple. Make a ditch. They were kings and usually gave commands, not take them. Would they obey the command given to them? Would they humble themselves to submit to a higher authority? Would their pride provoke them to resist? Would they offer excuses or try to rationalize around doing what God commanded? Possibly they might suggest a substitute way. But they did none of those things. God commanded, and they obeyed. There were no excuses. There were no delays. They were willing to do what God directed. Friend, we need to ask ourselves if we are so willing as they were. Is it not unreasonable to expect God's blessings when we question his way? If we hold out on God, what reason is there to think He's going to bless us anyway? Didn't Jesus say, Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" This matter was a test of their willingness to cooperate one with the other also. Here were men from different nations working together before God. They had a common goal. They had a single purpose. And when people will cooperate and work together rather than against one another, much can be done that otherwise would go undone. Actually, there is no room in the church or the home or in a Christian's life that will not work harmoniously with others. Sometimes there are members of the church who want to go their own way, and only their own way, standing aloof from everyone else, just because they did not get their way. Well, this is not the same as remaining separated from those who do not follow God's way. We're talking about people who have to have their own way in doing what God says do, but it's not specified how it's supposed to be done. If these kings could not work together in getting these ditches dug, they would not likely work together in warfare either. And by working together, they were actually working together with God. They were not just working with one another. If they had refused to cooperate, their lack of cooperation would have been toward God as much as toward each other. Is it not true, friend, that a cooperative attitude is needful in getting the work of the Lord's church done and done properly? When God gives the word, we should help each other to do what God says every way that we can. This was a test of their willingness to work. Too many people had the attitude, "Here I am, Lord, use him." Getting these ditches dug would require work, and patience, and steadfastness, and strength. They wanted to be spared from the Moabites, all right. They wanted to win over them. Were they willing to do their part? Or did they want to be all handed to them, as it is said, on a silver platter without any effort on their part? Many people today, they really want to go to heaven, but they're not willing to do their part. They're relying totally on God to do even what they are supposed to do. They're not even willing to follow God's plan. Certainly, man working alone will not avail. But man working God's plan will get the job done. Who is willing to work as God has commanded? Work is honorable. There's no substitute for it. Christ worked. The Father works. We must work. Work, for the night is coming when man works no more. These kings and their soldiers were obviously willing to put forth the effort required to obey God's plan for victory. And they passed every test. They did show confidence in God. They were willing to obey. They cooperated together. And they worked toward what had to be done. And what was the result? Well, first of all, they had ample water. And secondly, as the chapter reveals, when the Moabites saw the sun reflecting off the water, they mistakenly took it for blood, assumed the kings had fought each other, rushed in for the spoils, and were handed a solid and ruinous defeat. Now the principles are plain. They're easily understood. We must have faith in Christ, and we must do what He says. Even if you do not comprehend what He may have commanded us to do, and why we are supposed to obey. You know, sometimes people stumble at baptism. They're saying, "I don't see how getting down in the water is going to do anything for my soul." Well, friend, if you love the Lord, you'll be willing to be baptized, even if you never come to an understanding. But just the same, the Lord expects us to obey from the heart. And it is with the heart we understand the things. And the Lord has given us His reasons as to why He has told us to be baptized. And if one will just study this account just a little bit, he will see that obedience is doing what God says because God said do it for the reasons God has said do it. Now, these people knew the reason behind God's command. God was going to give them water. No, they might not have connected how God was going to accomplish all of that, but God said, dig the ditches. It had a direct connection with the desired result. They understood that. Are you willing to cooperate with God and with others in doing His will? Are you a ready worker for the Lord? You have your test, just as the kings have had theirs. And as they gained victory, God will give each one who will pass a test a spiritual victory over sin. Victory belongs to those who love the Lord enough to do what He commands, and with the right attitude toward it. So, what of you? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.